certainly glad that all the young people have not gone. It's been oftentimes to me a great disappointment when my heart is fixed to give a message to young people concerning the Lord and concerning His work. And just before I start, they say, after while we're singing the last verse of this hymn, the Sunday school will leave, and out go all the young people and leave a lot of older folk able to serve the Lord in different ways, but not so likely to go off to the mission field. I'd like to tell you a little bit about ourselves, because many of you we don't know very well, although we've been around quite a while. But I wanted to tell you that this week is an anniversary week for me, because 58 years ago this week I went out to serve the Lord in Zaire. As you can see, I didn't have a college diploma to take along. I went out at 21 years of age, and my father went with me, and my mother, and a brother and a sister. We all went to serve the Lord out in the mission field. Three of us were commended by an assembly of Christians in Oakland, California. In fact, an outstanding brother in that assembly was a man by the name of H.A. Ironside, who later became the pastor here at Moody Church in Chicago, and was a very great friend and a great inspiration to us as we served the Lord. But I was headed for the advertising business. I wanted to be in the advertising world in New York. I knew people there working with Air and Sun, and it looked very good for me. And, well, I can't give you the whole history in this little time, but I'd just like to say that we know that the Lord's hand was in it, because we went out to a place. It was then the Belgian Congo in Central Africa. And we found the people who were illiterate and nearly naked, practically naked, using skins and the bark of trees, actually, for clothing. And that was very little and moved about constantly. But we had the joy of going to them and meeting for many times meeting those who had never seen a white man before. They were under the Belgians, but that was taken care of from some distance, and they didn't see them very often. But at any rate, we went there with the gospel and went preaching Christ and Him crucified, learning the language from the people and speaking it to them in a form that they could understand. And one of the great works that the Lord has enabled us to be engaged in is that of translating the Bible into the Zaire Swahili language. And we have just completed for the second edition the whole New Testament in that Zaire Congo Swahili, because the first edition sold off very quickly, and we have just had another 10,000. Well, the whole Bible, of course, was done before that. In some years ago, we had the privilege of serving the Lord in that way. I must go on and tell you that some years ago, when we'd been out on the field, my father had gone to be with the Lord and mother as well, and I had the privilege of opening a station known as Lolwa out in the forest among the pygmies there, and that work is going on and others are carrying on. But the time came when, as we were serving the Lord there, he led to the building up of the work at Nyankundi. Some of you may have heard that name. The people, of course, were animists. They were worshiping the ancestral spirits, and outside of each hut there would be a little clump of grass into which they gave sacrifice to the ancestors. And we brought the gospel to them. And I would just like to urge any who have an exercise before God of going out to the mission field not to hesitate, but to go. If He opens the way for you, that world outside is a great world, and the need is great. Souls are waiting to hear and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The people were engaged in intertribal warfare when we went out. They were totally illiterate, and we had the privilege of bringing the gospel to them. When I had been out there 50 years, I told the people that I was not going to live there, but I felt that we'd gotten the work going, and we were trying to build up an indigenous type of work and leave it in their hands. And in the Lord's grace, that has gone on. But they said, well, don't leave us. If you go, but always come back, always come back. And Betty and I have been back now every year. And we've just come back 2 weeks ago. We've arrived back for another time in this country. But as I mentioned, we have booked to go about June this next year back to the field. Why do we go back? Have the indigenous work not succeeded? No, it has in a wonderful way exceeded. But the people are eager for more, and are interested in seeing more of these local churches established throughout the area. Actually, there are 84 of those churches around Myeongkundi. Altogether, we have 124 of those local churches that are in the hands of the African people. We're just happy to say, too, that recently, would it be 3 years now or 2.5 years, the assembly here commended Stan Schultz and his wife, Rhonda, to join in the work out there. And we praise the Lord that they came. Betty, my wife, taught them their first bit of Swahili, and now they're on their own in a place out near the Ituri Forest. They're serving the Lord, and Bethany Wheaton is represented in that way. And we would praise God, too, that we ourselves have been aided and encouraged frequently and constantly by the local church here. And we praise God for that and thank the Christians here for your participation with us in the work of the Lord. The first time we went back, as we've gone back time by time, first time we went back this time, in the assembly there at Myeongkundi, they were having a baptism. And we came just as arriving back, and here they were baptizing 99 people. 99 young people. And it was a joy to see them, and we just rejoice in the joy of seeing them being baptized. But the following week, I had been asked to speak, and I started by saying, now, praise God for the 99 who were baptized last week. Now, I'd like just to show that you've come. How many of you were baptized just last week? And about a dozen stood up. And I thought, now how come 99 baptized last week and only a dozen or so stand up? And the Lord led me into a type of ministry that I might say could be founded on these verses that our brother has read in Ephesians chapter 4. Going back to the wonderful time when we put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to his deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And as we traveled around the villages, oftentimes this was the subject that I brought to them. The fact that we are all born with a sinful nature. Everyone from the time of Adam who was born, with one notable exception, born with a sinful nature. And dealing with the people out there and knowing something of their lives and some of the things that were happening in the lives of those who were professing Christians. I do want to mention this in passing. One man who was the son of an outstanding Christian attacked his wife, and they quarreled. He had been drinking, and he killed her, and their child was expected. She was 6 months pregnant, and he killed her. A man whose name was Timoteo, he had trusted the Lord, and he killed his wife. And another one, a leper Christian woman, I say that too because she has a real testimony that she knows the Lord, but she was weary with these children of relatives that were constantly near her and in her way in many ways, and she gave them some medicine and they both died. She killed these two children, one after another. Things that have happened, and these were professing Christians. And then we saw some who were having troubles in their lives. A wife, and a Christian woman indeed, of a brother whose children were not going on for God. The sons were growing up to be thieves and constant trouble. And in the desperation after living this way for years, she took some cattle dip. I don't know if you know what that is here, but that's the poison that the cattle go down into every week to kill the insects that are on the cattle. And so in her distress, she drank cattle dip. Another young man who was drinking as well, a professing Christian. And his life didn't show that he belonged to Christ. If we're judging by the fruit, we would say, was he a Christian? But he was known as such. And at the last hour of his life, after he had drank the dip poison in order to put an end of his life, he confessed that he knew the Lord, but that he yielded to the attack of Satan, he called it. He had gone into drinking and other things that were contrary to the life of Christians. And so the subject which was on my heart and which I used frequently as I traveled about was the thought of the two natures. I'd just like to repeat that in a few minutes we have this morning for our own benefit, and particularly in speaking to other people, something that we can't emphasize. We are all born with a sinful nature. But as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit in His infinite grace comes to inhabit our beings, or ourselves, following the translation that we had, and we have a new nature. I'm going to read a verse in that connection in 2 Peter, if you just turn with me to that, if you have your Testament handy. 2 Peter, of course I'm maybe using a different translation for you, but you'll get the idea all right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. By which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In speaking to the African Christians, we emphasize the fact that those who do not know Christ are constantly pushed by their nature. In fact, every human being except the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not born with a sinful nature. God cannot sin, we have in the first chapter of James, and wonderful reality, the Lord Jesus was sinless by nature. But all of us, each one, has this sinful nature. And for the world that knows not Christ, There's no escaping. There's a constant yielding to this sinful nature. When a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ and is born again, as we have in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're put into the body of Christ. We're inducted into the spiritual oneness we have in the person of the Lord Jesus himself. And we become, in a measure, partakers of God's nature because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We do not have the obligation to sin now. Those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ will go on sinning and continue sinning. But those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there giving the enablement so that we do not have to sin. Rather, living in fellowship with the Lord Jesus, in fellowship day by day with Him, the Holy Spirit gives us a strength day by day to walk in fellowship with God. There's so many verses in this connection that I don't dare attempt to give you them in this short time, but let me just mention some of them that you can perhaps think of them. The only cure for the sinful nature is being born again. Born again. And then we have all those scriptures, John 3, 5, 6, and 7. You must be born again. Without being born again, you shall never see the kingdom of God. Salvation is necessary that you may enter the place God has prepared for those, the Lord Jesus has prepared for those who love Him. You must be born again. There's the acquisition of a new nature, a nature which has the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because the wonder of the Trinity is there as we think that through. He is there. For us, the hope of glory is Christ in us, as we have in Colossians. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And that gives us the, shall I say, ability or the strength to withstand this contest in our natural spiritual, or rather a natural human nature, and we can withstand this in the gracious will of the Lord. I want to read from Romans 6 just a few verses here. The position of the believer is that the old man is crucified with Christ. Because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the old man, or shall I say, the old nature, does not have the domination of our lives, but we are to reckon that as dead. We have in Romans 6, chapter, verse 6 and verse 11 and on down, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither yield ye, verse 13, your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments and of the righteousness of God. 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law of sin, under the law of grace. You're free from the sin, verse 18, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. Verse 22, being made free from sin, you become servants of God, and your fruit is unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. And then a place like Colossians 3, which is so full of this, the new life that is ours. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly the great majority of us in the room this morning do know the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that we have a fellowship with God in our nature, in our beings, and we're given the power from God to withstand and to dominate and to live in a way pleasing to Him. There are so many things in this third chapter of Colossians. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience, which ye also walked when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. And we have a list of the things that are to be put off. Verse 9, lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created them. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And then we go on to the things that are characteristic of the new life. In Galatians, you know there's this constant warfare between the old man, or the old nature, and the new nature. And they have in the fifth chapter of Colossians something that's very much to the point in this subject. Galatians 5, verse 17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the spirit, you're not under the law. We have a further reference to that as the law of sin. The law of sin. We're not obligated to sin. If we live in the flesh and we're without the Holy Spirit giving us the power to dominate the old nature, which is positionally crucified with Christ, we can see a victory in our lives day by day, and these things that are natural for us, all of us, natural for us to be involved in, to think upon, to engage ourselves in. We do not need to do this because we have a liberty that comes to those who are born again and have a spirit that have a nature that is a nature that is of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And one can go on and on. There are so many of these subjects we'd like to take more at length and speak more at length concerning. I would just like to take a few minutes that we have and mention you something about the work at Nyankundi and in our area at the present time. We thank God that our brother Stan Schultz and our sister Rhonda have learned the Swahili, and they have the French too under their belts, and they're doing a great work for God. We turned our house over to them when they first arrived, and they were there fitting into the local work at Nyankundi. And there's the medical work there at Nyankundi with the nursing school and the large nursing facilities there. We have schools in the area with some 8,000 students. We have a printing press there with 30 Christian employees operating modern equipment, including computer typesetting, but we're looking for a missionary to go out and do offset work and teach them further some of the intricacies of the computer and the offset work. But these are Christians, 30 of them, who are working there. And then we have the Emmaus Correspondence Course work there entirely in the hands of African Christians, and a studio with 3 broadcasts a week going from Nyankundi on tape to the Seychelles Islands, and broadcast from the Seychelles Islands to all of Africa, and produced right there at Nyankundi. We have as local churches 127 at the present time, 84 of which are at Nyankundi, in the Nyankundi area. That's the only non-forest area we have. The others are all in the forest. There are some 370 African evangelists preaching the gospel, not on a salary, not a clergy, just preaching the gospel. They know the Lord, and He gives blessing as a result. And there's going to be a conference very shortly at Akukora, Les Green, at the Akukora now. And his father, who used to be a missionary out there, has gone back on a visit, and it's coinciding with the meeting of the délégués. He used French out there too, you know. Delegates from the various assemblies in the area, two men, will be there, and they're there for a week of study together the Word. They're representing all these local churches entirely in the hands of the African Christians. And why do we go back? Well, people ask that. And we find that we can have a much wider ministry for God back there in Zaire than we can in this country. With the languages that we can use and the people we know and the thousands of people who know us. And we go back there and the Lord in His infinite grace gives blessing. And so we're going back and making contact. Praise God that some have gone to serve the Lord on the mission field as a result of our contact as we've come on earlier times. And we'd just like to say that we're very happy to speak with anyone who would like information about the mission field. The Africa Inland Mission and we are very close to the same area, but working in harmony together, and the Lord is blessing in the work. And I'd just like to say that this little message that I've given and could give more on at the present time was much used by God in Central Africa in these recent 4 months that we were out there. And it gave me great joy after I had preached that I would sit down and hear somebody else preaching it back to me, preaching the same reality of the fact of the old nature and then the divine participation in the divine nature as we're yielded to God. Oh, may the Lord work in our hearts and give us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And we have our opportunities. I've had 58 years of the work out there in Zaire, and I'd like to start all over again right now. In the meantime, I'm going to carry on, God willing. Just to encourage you, if the Lord's exercising your heart. But I feel it very much for Africa and for ourselves here. It very much depends on our own personal yieldedness of our lives to the control of the Holy Spirit of God, allowing the Lord to direct us and give us the strength and the desire to negate those things in our natural natures that would put us into the point of defeat as far as the attacks of Satan is concerned. The Lord bless this word to your heart. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thine infinite goodness that Thou hast given us the way of life. Thou hast given Thine own dear Son that He should die for us, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to Thee. And now that we've been brought to Thee, O Lord, we thank Thee that we were hearing in the song how that the Lord Jesus is calling, even now. Maybe someone in our company this morning has never found Him, Lord. Deal with that one to realize that that sinful nature is incurable. It needs the Holy Spirit in the new man in Christ or the new woman in Christ. Born again. We pray, Lord, that Thou use this in all of our lives, that we may go on for Christ and have the joy of fellowship with Him and give forth His message of salvation, the gospel, yes, to the Muslim world, a difficult, difficult place. Thank Thee, Lord, for those who are engaged, our brother George and others who are engaged in work of this kind. We know the difficulty of that work because of the opposition, perhaps because of lack of information concerning the Islam itself and what it means. We pray, Lord, that Thou will continue to bless. We commit ourselves to Thee and give Thee our
thanks, our praise, and our worship in the present, blessed, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.